Thank you. Sorry. So you, besides deciding not to go to that.
Okay. Now it's to the point where I can't understand what you're saying. Yeah. And so anyway.
You're listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Hey, welcome to the Pinball Podcast, episode 33, on June 1st, 2014. My name is Don, and with me, as always, is Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Just doing the podcast thing, like always, man. I'm actually excited about this. It's not month's show, it's the, just this show now,
this
right?
This week's show? Yeah.
Yeah.
This bi-week's show? Bi-months? Bi-week.
Something like that. This edition.
This edition of the Pinball Podcast brought to you by niftyled.com, where you can get a wide variety of high-quality LEDs to outfit your game, free shipping on all orders over $100, and only $5 flat rate shipping on all orders under $100, and Jeff's favorite part, you get the free french fry tray.
That's everybody's favorite part.
So let's say you order, I don't know, 4,000 LEDs. More than would fit in the french fry tray. Do you think they ship you like an extra big coffin size french fry tray?
Man, that's... I think you might just get multiple. I don't know.
They just glue them together like a raft made out of dead bodies.
Someone should do this and let us know.
Yes, someone drop several thousand dollars at niftyled.com.
It would, yeah, it's for science. And, you know, you're supporting some cool dudes.
Yeah, very cool dudes. This ties in great with our contest this month, because we have a prize from wizardamusement.com. The home of, let me pull up the actual script here. The home of over 50 different ball shooter mods, game-specific ball shooter mods. Also, you can get 10% off if you mention the Pinball Podcast when ordering. They've got everything from new games, Metallica and X-Men, old games like whatever the game before X-Men was, and older games too, like I bet there's a Roller Coaster Tycoon one, Big Buck Hunter. Would have been funnier. Simpsons Pinball Party. It would have been funnier if I named all games that don't have shooter rods. Like, hey, you can get your Judge Dredd shooter rod.
Attack
from Mars. You got Medieval Madness, of course. You got
Jurassic Park.
Oh, Medieval does have a shooter rod, doesn't it? No, it doesn't, because it's troll bombs. Not. Troll bombs, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll work on that shtick for next week or whatever.
Okay. I got one for Spider-Man, and it is awesome looking. And I told Measle Mods on Twitter, hey, I'll post some pictures. And I haven't, but I will.
Please do.
It looks great. It does. It's really, really nice. I got the rod, and I left it out on my kitchen counter, and I went to work. I came back, and it was missing. And Tyson had taken it upon himself to play with it, not knowing what it was.
Oh.
And I was a little bit worried that it had been damaged, but those things are rock solid, man. And not a scratch on it. And I explained to him what it was, and he insisted that we immediately put it on the game.
So. This Spider-Man toy is daddy's.
Yes. Don't touch ever again. Yeah.
Also, you need to isolate the drop where you said, I got the rod.
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, that needs to be a drop at the top of the show.
On the drops, I embarrass you, not me.
Well, are we going to have to really think about what I say? I don't want to say anything like, yeah, I love dude loves with my fake beard wife.
I can just get a voice impersonator if you don't give me good material, so.
Yeah, my voice is pretty easy to fake. Much like my emotions.
I can't find anybody to speak with such a lack of emotion to copy me, so I'm in the clear.
That is true. You have that Frank Grimey. Oh, no, even Frank Grimey got kind of ticked off at the end, huh?
Yeah, I was explaining to some of my coworkers that, like, I don't have the physical capabilities to yell or sing.
To show emotion?
No, I really don't show emotion either. If I do, it's totally fake. Like, I realize a normal person would have some outpouring, or some measure of emotion right now, and so I have to, like, try and drum it up, but it's It's pretty hard.
Have you cried at a movie in the last couple of years?
No.
Or ever?
R-Tax?
R-Tax. Is that like the K-Pax sequel? Or
no.
What is R-Tax?
Think about it. Never-ending story. Come on, R-Tax!
Oh, R-Tax? That's the name of the horse?
Yes. When the horse is sinking in the mud, because he's despairing.
I thought it was Atreyu or something.
Atreyu's the boy that looks like a girl.
Oh.
Artax is the horse that...
Artax.
Yes.
That's a terrible name.
It's cheap fantasy. What do you expect?
I remember that being said. I actually cried in a movie like 3 weeks ago. I didn't expect to.
The Muppets Most Wanted?
It was the Lego movie. It was a Spanish movie, a Spanish comedy, and it got super heavy at the end, and like my wife and I both just cracked, and I was like, whoa, dude, where did that come from?
It's like nobody told you about how My Girl ends or something?
I think I was 14 when I saw My Girl, so I was like, hey, yeah, the dude's dead.
Bees.
I was Beavis, basically, in high school.
So much has changed.
Not really.
That's cool. I don't look down at people who cry. That's fine. Wuss.
What have you been doing in pinball, Jeff?
I put a new shooter rod on my Spider-Man.
Really? Where'd you pick that thing up?
Wizard Amusements, actually.
Amusement. And
Amusement. Ah, that's 2 months in a row I've done that.
Amusement.
Yeah, if you go to the other one, you get some freaky other people's...
LemonParty.org kind of...
Dirty deal. People of the internet stuff that, you know... If it's not the real deal, it's a mess. No, other than that, like, I was trying to find a way to get up to the Northwest Pinball Show, and it's just not going to happen since I'm starting a new job tomorrow, and I couldn't do it. It's like, I don't know. I really wanted to do that because that show always sounds like just a super awesome thing. So really all I've done is just kind of played my games.
Before you go too far, we might as well, do you want to just talk about Northwest Pinball and Arcade Show now? Because we went right into it.
I mean, we can.
Well, I don't want to steer the ship or anything. But it is coming up. Job, it is coming up this weekend, so who knows if the show will be up by then. But potentially, you'll be hearing this before June 6th through 8th, Tacoma, Washington, nwpinballshow.com. I actually have a flyer in my hand physically right now. It's at the Tacoma Convention Center, 400 pinball and arcade games. One of the coolest things on here is a making of Star Trek pinball seminar with Steve Ritchie and David Thiel. Thiel?
Yes.
That sounds really cool.
It does. And that's one of the things that was really kind of like, I want to go. Because one thing when you see Steve Ritchie speak, it's always good. Like,
yeah.
he's a tell-it-as-it-is guy.
Yeah.
You'll hear about if he had things get cut from his game and he's still not happy about it, or if, you know, any additions were added that he didn't really care to add. I mean, he is the king of awesome seminars.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. And David Thiel, isn't that the guy that wrote Pitch Black and Chronicles of Riddick?
No, but...
Oh.
Maybe.
David Thiel. Who is... am I just dumb? How do I not know who that is?
Don't open that door. I don't know.
Don't know who he is?
No.
Oh, he's a sound guy. He's a composer. Pinball composer.
Okay.
Of course, we knew that.
So right. He is in charge of all the awesome riffs and stuff when you score jackpots on...
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming he does all the sound stuff for Stern. I don't know. It looks like he's done Pirates of the Caribbean, maybe some others.
Yeah. Even not being an AC/DC fan, I think AC/DC has one of the best sound packages ever. Because beyond the music, it does like the cool crowd cheering when you make a good shot. It does Like, if you hit a jackpot during multi-ball, it throws in a guitar fill that sounds really good. Steve Ritchie's a good voice guy.
How often has the soundtrack for Spider-Man, sound effects from Spider-Man, been recycled? It has a lot of Spider-Man
play better?
Oh, no, no, I don't mean the drops. I just mean, like, sound effects. And
oh, yeah.
Seems like they show up in all the Sterns.
Well, that's because of all Sterns, Spider-Man is the best sound package, so...
That's arguably true.
It's objectively true.
And it's David Twohy. Twohy wrote Pitch Black, by the way.
See?
I was close. I knew. Thiel Twohy.
But anyway, yeah, they're going to be at the Northwest, and one thing that's kind of cool about the Northwest Pinball Show is it's, I think we mentioned it kind of in the last episode, it's in a really cool area of our country, and if you've never been up to Seattle, it's a cool city, man. There's a lot of fun stuff to do up there, like pinball shows.
Yeah, and the Pacific Pinball Museum's somewhere up there, isn't it? Not too far away?
I don't know the layouts of all those things, but all I know is I really like Seattle.
The internet does, so you can Google that yourself.
Yeah, Google it on Bing.
Also, they have free Wi-Fi. On Bing, yes.
You are in Microsoft's backyard there, so be respectful and Bing it.
Bing's probably super accurate up in that area.
Yeah, Bing it on, baby.
Is that a real slogan they use?
It was. When they were doing their Bing challenge, it was Bing it on.
That is awful.
Yeah. And I did the challenge, and I still preferred the Google results, but hey, they tried.
All right. Anyway, thank you. Sorry. So, besides deciding not to go to that, I'm stuttering all of a sudden. What were you going to say about you were playing pinball?
No, I've just been playing my machines. Good. I think we all go through these weird cycles of I'm working on them a lot, but I'm not playing them a ton, or I'm playing them a ton, but I'm letting some of my projects slip. And I've been playing a lot, and actually my kids, I've noticed, have been playing the games a whole heck of a lot more than they ever have. I'll come home from work, and when I finally wander downstairs or whatever my games are, I'll notice that some of them are on or whatever. Tyson, my older kid, he's been playing a lot of Tron. I'm afraid he's going to be much better than me at pinball by the time he's about 10 years old, so that's fine. Yeah, I guess all right. Escher in the making. That's always good. Like, I love when I realize I've played with my machines a lot, and that's been how it's been lately. So, nothing super fantastic that I can think of, special activities in pinball this month, but
that's all right. Yeah, cool.
What about you, Donald?
Well, you might want to sit down for this, Jeff.
I'm sitting down.
My Wizard of Oz broke.
No.
I don't think I talked about it last time. Did I?
Did it have to do with an LED board?
Yes. Okay. I don't know how you knew that, but yes.
Well, that's the only thing that ever seems to go wrong with it. So.
Yeah, that's pretty true, I guess. Yeah, an LED board went out. The rainbow targets lights would not work, which are pretty important in the game, especially in no place like home mode, where that's the only indicator you have of your progress in the mode.
Yeah.
But I emailed Lloyd and got a new board. I installed it last night, and we're good to go. So thank you for that. Good service.
What's the time commitment to swap out one of those boards? Is it just like any other board, or do you have to do any like solder work or anything like that? I've never actually taken a peek underneath a Wizard of Oz.
No, it's actually really cool. They're color-coded. Since they're all in series, it's color-coded in and color-coded out. So I think there's a green cable that goes in, you plug it in, and there's a red cable that comes out, so you plug that in, and then you plug in the power, and that's it. Three plugs, do-do-do, and then you just screw it in.
Are you fully boned if you're colorblind? I was playing Wii U over the weekend.
In general, or?
Just for this particular job. I was playing Wii U over the weekend with some coworkers, and we were playing, have you played Nintendo Land?
Yes, I love that game, actually.
You know Chase Mario, that one?
No.
Come on.
I play by myself, and a lot of the games on there are multiplayer. Which is the Chase Mario one?
It's the one where four players are Toads, and they're running around, and the guy with the tablet's Mario. He can see the entire area, and the Toads only have vision of what they can actually see on their quadrant. And so the area is split up into four different main colors. And so as you're running around, like one of the guys who's playing Toad's like, he's off in the blue area. He's in the blue. And so the goal is just to run down and catch Mario.
It's a circular arena on the first one, I think.
Yeah, and yes, so anyway, we're sitting there yelling colors, and then finally one of my coworkers is like, you guys, I have no idea what any of that means, and I totally had forgot that he was fully colorblind, and so...
So you sent him home?
It got... Well, we shamed him first, but it got trickier as... After that, to communicate with him, so...
Yeah, you'd think they would put patterns on the ground or something.
You would think, but they didn't.
And the reason I laughed when you described how that played is because it sounds exactly like the Animal Crossing game on there, in which one guy runs around while the other two dogs try to catch him, and exactly like the Luigi mode, where one guy runs around while the ghosts try to catch him. Sorry. Anyway, it's still a great game. I don't remember what we were talking about. So you did. Oh, yeah, yeah. There was discussion about how if you are colorblind, the horse of a different color mode is basically a crapshoot. But in reality, it's a crapshoot for almost everybody on what you're getting on that game. Unless you're really, really good and can pick each shot. But other than that, I think you're okay. The rainbow targets light up, so if you can see it lit, okay. Well, what do you want me to do? Like, keep going?
I'm laughing because I'm hearing about one word out of every 10 that Don's saying right now. And, somehow I can still understand what's being said about the rainbow targets and such.
Well, if you want to go Rosebud, just let me know and we can restart recording. Because I can hear myself, and so I know I'm recording myself.
Okay, now it's to the point where I can't understand what you're saying.
And let's reset Skype.
Can you understand me just fine?
Yeah, you sound great.
This is the Pinball Podcast, warts and all. So, yeah. I'm just going to do a little bit of a pause of the recording here, and we'll reset.
All right, so I think we were talking about what we were doing in pinball.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard any of what I said, but yeah, if you're colorblind on Wizard of Oz, you're not that boned. Anyway, so I swapped the boards out, and I actually have a broken... what are those tubes called at the bank? Bank tubes? The bank tube around the witch is broken.
Pneumatic tube.
The pneumatic tube around the witch is broken. So it should be here tomorrow. They ship me a new one of those. I don't really feel comfortable playing because she's just kind of hanging out there. And with my luck, I just crack her face open or something.
Yeah.
So I'll just wait. And
patiently or?
Semi-patiently, I guess. You know, I don't get ever to play game anyway, so. A friend came over last night, and we actually played Simpsons Pinball Party for about an hour.
Did you get to Alien Invasion?
No. The best we did was we completed maybe 3 or 4 modes, at one time. But I did see something I'd never seen before. It was Bart and Milhouse, and they were in the Android's dungeon, and it was some sort of...
The super secret stash.
I don't know how we got that, but I did see that.
You completed all the hurry-ups, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. We had some pretty good ball times, especially him. He's a lot better than I am. And his daughter did beat both of us. But, okay, so it's just a different mode. Whatever. I guess.
There's so many cool modes in that game that... If you don't ever go and, like, read a rule sheet, there's so much to discover in that game. Like, wait, I swear I just heard a bunch of drops that I'd never heard before, and you realize you're in a nice, weird, unlocked mode. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was great. And she actually got 8 Cletus kids, which is the most I've ever seen. I don't know how, wow. I don't know who gets 26. That seems insane.
I don't know. And that gives you what, like the...
Pretzel multi-ball.
Yeah, the pretzel. That's right. Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a really funny scene in the show, by the way.
Oh, yeah. When he's naming them off. Jordan, Dakota, Jessica. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's an insane goal for a pinball machine. Like, the hardest left orbit probably I can even think of, and you have to hit it 26 times.
Yes. Sometimes you're lucky, and you don't quite make the garage shot, and it'll dribble over that it'll switch. Fall through. But,
yeah.
Yeah,
or a pop bumper will kick it up there.
Yeah, if you're really lucky. It has to really send it up there to get the actual credit for it, so.
But, I don't know, that's why I really just love that game. There's so much that you end up seeing that you didn't plan on or even know about sometimes.
That's a very, very love-hate game. We should do that sometime. Games people love and hate, because everyone I know who's had one has sold it, and except for me at this point. And it, you'll have like these great games. You're like, oh man, this is the best game ever. And then it just whoops your ass like 45 times in a row. And you're like, why do I keep this around? I could be having more fun with something else.
Well, mine's technically sold, but not, because I had two. I know. So
you sold one. It's not in your home. All the other collectors here sold theirs, and it's not in their homes. I don't know.
I will get another one back in my house, though. That, I miss that and Lord of the Rings both a lot.
It has so much personality, but, man, if you're off, you're off on that game. It's hard to get back on the rails. Anyway.
That's true.
Anyway. So, there you go. I don't know what else I've been doing. I forget. We were doing shows so fast now, it's hard to keep up. Let's do a little show feedback, and we're going to actually mix in our contest answers into this segment. But first, something that I thought more and more about on our last show, and I don't mean to call you out. I want to have somewhat serious discussion. This might be something we could even open up, although I think we did open up. But Joe Zinkus wrote in, we were talking about A-list, B-list, whatever games. He says, the D-list, basically Gottlieb Premier. That's something that we said on the show. He said he finally got to play a class of 1882. I think he means 1812. At Game Galaxy. Gameplay is decent, especially for a Premier game, as a qualifier, but it's clearly trying to rip off Elvira and the Party Monsters, just like most of their titles. Genesis is Bride of Pinbot. So...
Or, yeah, just the bad fake licenses. So
the way we were talking, you had had Congo and Judge Dredd in the A-list category. Whereas to me, there's your A-list is basically your Medievals, your Attack from Mars, your Monster Bashes. So they're the super models to the regular models. So, like... So your Congos, your Judge Dredds... Those are
bees. They're like booth babes.
Those are booth babes, okay. I like that. So then your C-list, that's where you get into your Baywatch, your Space Jam, your Austin Powers.
Those are your hot dates.
Hot dates. Cute girl next door. Sure. So then your D-list, I don't know, maybe Popeye could get lumped into that category. Let's see, those are the C's. I'm writing this down so I don't forget. Your D-list would be your Genesis, your 1812.
Your Fishtails.
Your Fishtails, sure.
I'm just kidding.
And then your G-list is your Bad Girls, your Ravens.
Your South Park.
Your South Park.
Your NFL.
NFL is awful. So there really, that needs to be at least... One, two, three, at least five categories. At least an F list there. Because maybe D and C could get combined a little bit. Where you got Baywatch and 1812 together. But I'd say Baywatch has a lot more going on. Austin Powers. Especially compared to a Genesis. Some people would put maybe Genesis in the F category. The G category.
Yeah. Maybe there needs to be tiers within each list.
We need to make these lists more complicated. Yeah. I don't know. I think the A's are like the Cactus Canes. The really, really elite. Before we get down into... Which, making a Congo one step below a Cactus Canyon seems a little shaky, too.
Yeah, see... are you Cactus Canyon's an A game? Is that you?
It has the potential to be, yeah. Everything's there except the code, in my opinion. I know you don't feel that way, but...
Yeah, whatever.
I'm just saying, you got the value if you want to look at that angle. You got the art package if you want to look at that angle.
I would say it belongs on the public's lower A list, but on my personal one, it's a B.
Okay.
That's a good compromise, probably.
Probably same with Circus Voltaire in your case, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we don't have to classify all of our games, but sometimes it's... Especially when you're trading games.
Yeah.
Oh, something I did I totally forgot about. I played a Black Rose for the first time. So we were talking about, you know, maybe trading... What would you do in the case of trading a Bram Stoker's Dracula...
Bam Strokers.
Bam Trackers against the Black Rose.
I would keep the Bam Stokers.
Yeah, but I mean, if you had to out a deal where you take the Black Rose home and your Dracula goes home with the other guy, what kind of situation is that?
Well, it's losing, but do you mean what kind of monetary
compensation? Yes. Which direction?
Well, the BSD guy who gave that up is taking a Black Rose plus, I'd say, 600, 700.
Okay, so you got BSD way above Black Rose.
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm. This individual did not feel that way. He felt the opposite, which we didn't really get into it, but I was very thrilled to play it. It was in really, really nice shape.
It's kind of cool. It just, I think for longevity, Blum Stokers is way, way better.
It felt more like a game you want to go back to. I think Black Rose would probably wear out its welcome eventually.
It's kind of like Junkyard. It's really fun to play on location every time, but probably not the most super duper awesome home game.
I really liked it, but after a while playing it in person, the video modes kind of wore on me.
Yeah, that's the same at Junkyard too, right? Like,
well, yeah.
How many times can you shoot that toast at the dog?
Well, how many video modes are in Black Rose? Like 4 or 5 or something? It has more than any other game ever.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
Either way, it seemed like we were constantly playing video modes.
But the cannon's really cool. Like, it's always cool on how that works there. There's, you know, varying targets and stuff. I don't know. I just think that the Bram Stoker's Dracula is just a better overall game, kind of top to bottom. But, you know, a lot of people can make the argument that there's not a lot to BSD either. Like, you know, the strategy's pretty simple, but I don't know. It's challenging, I think.
Yeah. Sometimes you want a game, especially in a larger collection, where you're just chasing points.
A score. Yeah.
I think Congo was my game like that for a long time.
Yeah, that's why I have a Miss Pac-Man, you know, arcade machine. It's just, sometimes you just want to see if you can get a little bit higher score. Yeah.
Okay, well, I just wanted to beat that horse a little bit more.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right, so we talked about our contest last month was your idea. I'm giving you full credit. It was a great idea. There were two kind of major lulls in the pinball industry, and we talked about games that would have been made if they... but there was no lull. Yeah, there wasn't a lull. Games that would exist at this point. And I think we narrowed it down. Let me see. I wrote down the years. 80 to 87, and then 96 to 2004. And those are a little bit wider than the actual lulls, but that's kind of the spot we're going for.
Yeah.
So we had a good amount of entries, but a lot of people hit on E.T. E.T. was kind of like the big... It was the Harry Potter of... Harry Potter was too obvious, so we got a lot of E.T.s. But
I mean, they made an excellent Atari game.
Fantastic, so. Yeah. So good they're making a documentary about it.
I know.
But just a couple of the ones we had thrown out. And people, like, I didn't think about, oh, well, how would the game actually function? But other people did. Like, for example, Keith wrote in about Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You're a hater, but I loved Fraggle Rock.
I'm just not a Muppet guy. But, he thinks Fraggle, you know, Muppets comes up now and then, but Fraggle Rock is more conducive to a game.
Conducive.
The color palette with toys would be loads of fun. Rock structures with ramps built in would be great. That would be super cool. Like a ramp
like the carved dozers, into a...
Yeah.
Like the dozers look like they're making ramps anyway, but yeah, the rock structures would be cool.
He even mentions that. A dozer area where the ball could destroy the structures they built.
Yeah.
A shooter lane coming in from the old man's shop? I don't know what that means.
The Fraggles live underneath the ground that's below, like, this guy's, like, fix-it shop. And
oh, okay. Let's Fred Sanford's shop?
Sure, let's say.
And then, let's see, maybe that junk pile thing... Think the Shrek mini playfield with the mini ball helping to keep the scale to the larger Gorgs. Oh, an upper garden area with the Gorgs. Are Gorgs the enemies or something?
There's like these giants that want to eat the Fraggles.
Oh, okay. So the ball.
Much and the big though. Trash heap is, I think we were talking about the junk pile.
Cool.
They go there when they need like prophecy and stuff.
This is a weird show. Video modes with postcards from Uncle Traveling Matt, where you can control his adventures.
Yeah, he's out in the real world, and he sends postcards back to the Fraggles.
So the Fraggles just sit underground all day? They're like the stoners of the Animal Kingdom?
They have issues. Okay. You know, there's conflict. There's like one episode where they're all going to die. Like they're all going to freeze to death or something. It gets really dark.
All I remember as a kid is seeing it on the... I saw the show, but I don't remember it. But I would always go to the rental store, and they had a huge Fraggle Rock poster right next to a Garbage Pail Kid poster.
That would be an awesome pinball machine.
Yeah, that's one I actually had written down. Garbage Pail Kids. Anyway, they both looked like something I wasn't interested in as a six-year-old. Steve wrote in... Oh, maybe this is from Steve O, because the very first one he mentions is Jackass with Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a rough one on location, but I could definitely... They were so...
Yeah, if they did No Fear, Jackass would have happened. Futurama, Bender Call Us would be great. Yeah, that's a home run all day. Yeah. There is a really nice custom one out there somewhere on the internet, if you search Futurama Pinball. Saturday Night Live, like a retrospective one would be kind of cool. He talks about the Belushi, what is it, the Samurai, Deli Samurai or something?
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy is Buckwheat, Chris Farley toys would be cool. Jim Carrey machines, yeah, Jim Carrey killed pinball apparently, because Dumb and Dumber, The Mask, Ace Ventura, although that was kind of...
The Mask kind of early actually 90s. Could have been a really cool concept for pinball.
Yeah, even if they used the comic, like more influence from the comic... But the license of the Jim Carrey film. Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss would be a hard sell anywhere except like kids' amusement arcades areas. I can't see that.
It would
that
be
in
so
bar,
cool artistically, though.
Yeah, that would be neat. That'd be a home run for somebody's custom game. Mad Magazine, Spy vs. Spy, Don Martin. I would love to have seen that. Data
East. I want Spy vs. Spy.
Now. Yeah, Spy vs. Spy would be awesome. Anyway, so thank you for that. Steve, he's the son of an operator who I guess his father ran machines all the way into the early 2000s. Oh, he's still operating machines, but kind of lived through that whole heyday.
Cool.
Yeah, so very cool. Thank you for the writing in there. John O. throwed in a Williams Hard Rock Cafe theme, which is actually kind of a good idea. Because they've got them everywhere. Everybody knows Hard Rock. Some of the modes collect all the t-shirts, Hard Rock Vegas. All have fries with that.
Yeah, what about Planet Hollywood, though?
Planet Hollywood. I was thinking like a Universal Studios thing. That would be kind of cool. You could put the T-Rex in there. You could put all of the Data East games into one cabinet. Oh, actually, he does bring up Planet Hollywood. I thought he did. It's on the next bar here. Same layout as the Hard Rock, except there would be a spinning Arnold Schwarzenegger head and a Sylvester Stallone pop bumper in the center. The Translite would have two massive heads depicted, one of Arnold, one of Stallone. I guess Bruce Willis
I'm
gets
on board.
The shaft there. So, yeah, very cool. And this is from Rob. Rob wrote in WWF Wrestling and E.T., So, WWF, he says that Royal Rumble kind of showed up when wrestling was on its downturn. Although it popped up again with Raw, right? Raw was a few years after
Yeah,
that.
I guess he's just saying the big revival was...
Had not come.
Like, 99, 2000.
Yeah. So. But then even, like, the late 80s, they had the cartoon and stuff. So, it kind of came in the lull of wrestling.
Yeah.
So, of course, he brings up Andre the Giant, Iron Sheik, Junkyard Dog, King Kong Bundy. A lot of those guys were missed from the WWF game.
That's true.
And then we included his E.T. suggestion. It's a little bit kiddie, but that was the highest-grossing movie of the year. So, that's if you look at the list of the highest-grossing films, like that's kind of one of the big ones that sticks out is there's no good.
No representation.
Yeah. Did you ever play the PS1 game? It was the sequel to E.T.?
No.
I've always wanted it. I saw it in the stores for years and never picked it up. Now I'm like, oh, I wish I would have tried it. But you were on E.T.'s planet.
That's super weird.
Yeah, I don't know if it was any good, but...
I have completed the Atari 2600 one. multiple times.
You got out of the hole?
All of the holes.
Wow.
You fell into one every 30 seconds.
All of the holes. There's the drop for the top of the show. Put a giant full moon mid-playfield and an upper left flipper so the ball would sail across the moon like the iconic bicycle scene. That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Reese's Pieces tie-in, of course. ET was on everything back then when I was a kid, from buttons to underwear. It would almost definitely be better than the ET arcade game, or Atari game, right?
Well, we would hope.
He also brings up Beverly Hills Cop, which would be awesome.
We got Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, but he does bring that up. They would have just held out for Beverly Hills Cop 3, and it would still use the same layout as Lethal Weapon 3. Because, like, 15 games used that layout back then.
We got Deadly Weapon as well.
We did get Deadly Weapon. There's no Axel Foley on there, though. And just a John Hammer soundtrack would be, or Jan Hammer would be fantastic for a pin. Ooh, yeah. That'd be good. James Hale or Holly or however you say his name. This is
Beauregard.
This is different. All right, it's the number two show right behind Dallas. Of course, so Dallas, not really a good theme, but Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh yeah, that would. I could see people, because they're still big Dukes of Hazzard fans.
Yeah. Jump the Creek with the General Lee. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Crazy Cooters Joyride. I don't know if that's related. I don't know what that has to... I don't know what Crazy Cooter is.
What about Boss Hog Limited Edition?
Yeah, there you go. Boar's Nest Boogie is a mode that he came up with. A video mode where Bo Duke shoots arrows taped with dynamite while hanging out of the General Lee at Barrels in the Road. That does sound like fun. That should be in a video game.
I agree. Wasn't there some crappy PS1 game of it?
There was a PS... They made like two or three of them.
Yeah.
I think I do own those, but I've never tracked them. Callouts could be done by Waylon Jennings. And some of the songs. Good Old Boys. Sweet Home Alabama. No, thank you. Flirting with Disaster. That'd be awesome on a pin.
Yeah.
Midnight Rider and Ramblin' Man. And When the Ball Drains, you'd have Roscoe's signature laugh. Multi-ball named after cars on the show. Yeah, he put a lot of thought into that theme.
Yeah, that was well done.
Like, I think Jim might be like 4 years older than me, because I do remember that show, but I was a kid and I didn't get it. I'm just like, oh, they jumped a creek. And there's a...
Rad.
And there's a fat guy in a suit.
Yeah, my brother's 5 years older than me, and he was a bigger Dukes of Hazzard.
He wore Daisy Dukes to school every day.
I did. It's comfortable. It got hot. Yeah. It gets hot in Utah in the summer, yeah, Don.
You need some drafty.
Yeah. No, that's a great one, though.
And then Joe Zinkus wrote in, I'm going with War Games. First pinball with alphanumeric was High Speed. The launch code for the WOPR... could display in the corner somewhere once you get into wizard mode. Oh, War Games, the movie.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking just...
Do you want to play a game?
I was thinking just War Games. You have to hit tic-tac-toe targets to light up a tic-tac-toe board in the middle, a la X's and O's. And the computerized voice of the WOPR would tie in pretty well. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that fits in there.
What about Project X? You know, say Virgil.
What's Project X?
That's the other Matthew Broderick movie where they're, like, doing the testing on...
his brother or something?
Chimps. No, they're testing on the chimpanzees to fly... If I'm remembering correctly, it's so that they can fly the bombers to drop nuclear weapons so it doesn't put pilots at risk or something like that.
That sounds that's it.
Project
lame.
X?
There's a Jackie Chan movie, I think, called Project... Oh, that's Project A, sorry.
That's Rush Hour.
Rush
Hour.
Which
we could have got.
Jackie Chan
got a
pin, yeah.
Shanghai.
Around the World in 80 Days.
So.
No. And then, for the R96 to 2004, he mentions two already being made, Matrix and Big Lebowski. Matrix is another one that came up a bit. But I think Pulp Fiction would have been an interesting title. Especially because it was an indie movie, so yeah, that would have been out of nowhere. Certainly lots of great quotes. Ball drain. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? And ZZ, baby. ZZ.
There would have been a lot of beeps and editing on on that one.
Gold Watch Multiball. I want to see Christopher Walken's dad's ass pipe up on the DMD. That'd be pretty cool.
How about just a Christopher Walken pin?
Just period.
Yeah.
Country Bears segment. Not so much.
No, probably not.
Okay, my favorite, not only because he disses the Muppets, but Labyrinth, starring David Bowie.
Yeah.
Which we started talking about a giant 3D backglass cod piece on the back. Would be kind of cool. Yeah. Although he didn't have a cod piece, he just had tight pants. But and then, of course, he brought up E.T. too, which is fine. I'm not saying not E.T. E.T.'s a home run. From the later years, Men in Black, of course, would be really great. Tons of options for awesome Playfield toys, giant bug bosses. That would have been awesome. And this is my favorite. This is the big winner right here. Because it's really inappropriate. James Cameron's blockbuster Titanic. Sure, it's a bit of a Debbie Downer, but the sinking ship toy would have been a smash. Pirates of the Caribbean would have nothing on a Titanic toy sinking under the playfield. Add in a few modes like stowing away, throw a couple icebergs on top of the pops and playfield, and maybe some I'm King of the World callouts. It is still the second highest grossing film of all time. If it was done right, it would be awesome. Yeah. So, he's looking forward to the Oklahoma City bombing game coming out in 20 years when we do this.
Oh. What about... Nobody said the Goonies?
Yeah, nobody did say Goonies. Is that too obvious?
I don't know, but...
I like...
It's the Goonies, man.
I like that one of our highest grossing movies of all time is on a disaster. And it was kind of absurd. It wasn't a serious film at all. Yeah. So Ben would be even funnier. It's like... I always think of that Philadelphia action figure commercial from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
All right. So thank you for those interesting suggestions.
Fun stuff. Yes, we're gonna I thought for sure we'd hear of G.I. Joe or Gen 1 Transformers.
Well, we haven't done our list yet, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's what we're doing, right?
Is that what you're doing?
Time for a break. We'll be right back. And we are back with the hottest pinball news. You know what I was thinking about, Jeff? Remember Pinball Head? What? How when we started the podcast, that was like the site for news?
Yeah, essentially our podcast is just reading their front page.
Yeah. What happened to Pinball Head?
I don't know.
It's still around. I saw them post something on Facebook the other day. But the last post they have on their website is Star Trek Pinball announced. Which, did you hear that? It's breaking news.
Yeah, it's fresh.
Yes. I don't know. I'll have to email them and see what happened.
Yeah, I would like to know. It was a very common destination for me in my daily
good
visits.
Good time capsule of 2012 in pinball. All right. Did you check out the video for the Big Lebowski lower playfield that Dutch Pinball released?
I most definitely did.
And what did you think, Jeff?
I thought that was really impressive. And that's just the lower playfield.
Would you like to describe it to our listeners?
Yeah, it's bowling. So essentially what you've got is you've got the lower playfield window kind of like... It looks like it's the same shape as like Creature from Black Lagoon, right? Yeah. And you are shooting a pinball to some pins, kind of like a shuffle bowler, for, you know, the bowling section of the game, which you obviously would have had to have had. So, I don't know how often it is to get that, if that's going to be a mode, or if that's going to be how it's going to be integrated, because we don't know much more about the game, but it was really cool, and the video was really high quality, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, the video is great. It's pretty short. It's maybe like a minute or a minute and a half long. But it looks like they got the Brunswick license. So the The actual, I guess, the framing of the pin holder thing looks Brunswick-y, and the design of the floorboards also looks Brunswick-y. And
yep.
Word is part of that license is they got the ball return mechanism that Brunswick uses. So people were speculating that it might return the ball up to a little bowling ball return for like maybe a ball lock or something. Which would be really cool. It'd be cool if it like sprays air up and dry your hands off.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how this turns out. It's going to be something crazy.
Yeah. The pins are all individually controlled, so they don't just like pop up halfway or anything. And it's not like the Flintstones where they're just dangling there. But basically you have a cannon at the bottom rotating back and forth, and I guess you hit some button to shoot your ball. But they show it getting a spare and, you know, just knocking down pins. They show the pins kind of waving back and forth. Some people talked about maybe that could even be a mode. You just drop a quarter in and play some shuffle bowling. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Whatever they're doing with it, it looks like it's well implemented.
Yeah. It's going to be a home run when that thing comes out. And a little bit more, they showed that the pop bumper caps look like bowling balls, which isn't a huge thing, but if you watch the video carefully, you can see kind of little areas of the playfield that aren't featured in the video. So we'll link to that video. It's pretty cool. And I want to talk a little bit about credit.pinball.com, which is, when you say it phonetically, it's a little weird. But Rob McLarge started the site a little while ago, and he's kind of just populating it. And he's ready to go, you know, public with it. So check out credit.pinball.com. He's writing really cool editorials, really kind of in-depth articles about this and that. And he frames them with pictures. It's just really, it's more of a long-form pinball news, pinball commentary, I guess. So very, very cool. There's not really a lot of places online that do that. Even if you look at Pinside, you're getting it in bits and pieces from 15 different people over and over.
Yeah, it's a bit scattered and shattered.
It's similar to what Pinball News does, but with maybe a wider range of topics, not just new releases and shows. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Anyway, definitely want to check it out. I'm looking at it right now, and there's a bit of news that I didn't know was a real thing. I guess I missed on Stern's Facebook page that Dirty Donnie is releasing a set of toys for Metallica.
Yeah, I saw those. They look cool.
Yeah, they do look really cool. I really like the cross. I saw a picture that he posted on his Facebook, but I didn't know he was selling it. He just said, this is what I had in mind for the actual toys.
Wait, isn't it part of a super special edition, or are they just selling the toys? I wasn't clear on that.
Custom Dirty Donnie Premium Edition.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Get a signed Translite, a series of the toys we just talked about. Huh. I know Donnie's been selling the toys. The custom painted Sparkies. I think they're like $500 each or $550. But yeah, you're right. This is like similar to the Lucy Edition.
Yeah.
It's like its own thing. It's $8,000. Oh, well, that's the rumors.
That's just for toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, some distributors have claimed that they're already in line to get some, so some of them are starting to take deposits already.
Wow. I don't know, I really like a lot of he's been doing a lot of different designs on the Sparkies, and some of them are really great, but that's a lot to put into a bash toy. If I spend $550 bucks on something, I'm going to be beaten with a metal ball. But yeah, no, they look great. And he also mentions the Wizard of Oz mystery updated code. I don't know if you saw that thread, Jeff.
I didn't.
There's some sort of... Somebody put up their Wizard of Oz for sale on Pinside, but he talked about it having a 6.02 software, which the latest, the public version, was like 5.0 or 5. Something. So it did have different things added to it, more like a tournament edition. So people are trying to track it down now. Because Stern doesn't have it on their site.
Huh. That's not... Wait. Wizard of Oz wouldn't be Stern.
I said Wheel of Fortune. Did I say Wizard of Oz?
I said Wizard of Oz. Oh. Or maybe I heard that and you didn't, and
maybe I did.
Whatever. I was just a little confused.
I'm talking about Wheel of Fortune, which has been known for having unfinished code. So Keith piped in on the thread. I don't have the thread in front of me, but he basically said that after he got laid off or let go from Stern, somebody internally went ahead with this version of the code. So it's not really his version, but they made different additions and fixes to it.
Huh. So it actually is legit official code.
Yeah, it's legit code from Stern, but it was not publicly distributed on their site.
I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. And what was up with that Spider-Man code? Spider-Man had the same thing. Like, I guess they released code in September, but nobody really knew about it.
I don't know. I didn't know about it.
I don't know that much about it, but I know it's out there. I downloaded it for my friend to put on his game. I don't know how much they changed, but yeah, there's new Spider-Man code from, like, September.
Okay, I should go get
it. Yeah, check it out. If I remember right, nobody could find the notes for it. Well, maybe now at this point they have. I haven't really followed it. That was like 2 weeks ago. Come on, Jeff.
I will do it.
You can tell we haven't been reading Pinside as much. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I haven't been reading it as much.
I haven't.
I've been trying to keep up, but it's tough on Pinside now.
It's hard.
It's hard out there.
It moves so fast. Yes. And Pinballhead is not updating.
Well, now we got credit.pinball.com.
Okay.
But that's the word dot the first time and the symbol dot the second time.
Same thing Pinball Soul used to keep up to
date. Yeah, Pinball Soul was great for a long time. Yeah. And he still updates now and then when he finds something.
Yeah, and he's still on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Also wanted to mention Sparky on Pinside released a Simpsons Pinball Party mod that I would say is maybe must-have. And he also released one for Twilight Zone. It's a little TV that actually plays Itchy and Scratchy episodes. I want to say it was 20 minutes worth of reels, or maybe there's 20 shorts on there. I don't see the details right now. Dang it. Anyway, so it's a little TV. It looks pretty cool, but it's, I think it was $150 or so. Wow, this is really good information.
It's out there.
It's really cool. It's basically
that's not a bad price.
No, because it's kind of similar to the arcade cabinet for Tron, which everybody loves. Mm-hmm. But for Simpsons and Twilight Zone, pretty cool. Yeah. It's a great idea, and I thought the cost of the mod was reasonable. I just wish I had $150.
You don't though.
Don't. Okay, I found it. It's 15 minutes of Itchy and Scratchy compiled together. Twilight Zone video is about 15 minutes. They both repeat. He put in highlights from 4 different episodes for the Twilight Zone. It's $139 for the Twilight Zone video because it comes with a power tap from DK Pinball. And the Simpsons video is $129 because you don't need the power tap.
Okay.
And the mounts on the Simpsons, which already has a TV on it, it mounts kind of over by where Itchy and Scratchy are.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's there's some good area there to work with.
Yeah. Right above the Krusty Spinner. So, anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, so that's it for news. Sorry to bother you, Jeff.
No, that's good. I actually didn't know about that one either. Oh, I'm intrigued.
I posted something about Jeff taking a sabbatical from the show, and I didn't know I was being serious.
I have been disgustingly busy at work.
That's all right. I know you've been taking advantage of the weather too.
It's been great.
Yeah, I saw you went fishing and stuff.
No, I've been catching all kinds of fish, man.
Not just catching crabs like you were last month. Or no, the clap. Sorry,
I actually caught a crab last month.
You caught a crab
in Hawaii. In Hawaii.
Don't tell the old lady.
This was a sea crab.
How big of a crab?
I don't know, bigger than my hand.
Oh, okay. So, like half a pound or something?
I don't know, maybe.
Did you throw it back or what?
Yeah, I let it go.
How do you catch a crab? With its mouth?
it made a mistake and it came up on the beach and I ran over and put a bucket over it. It
physically caught one, like a spider.
Yeah, it wasn't like I caught it fishing, though. But you can, you can throw out, like,
a net, I don't know, or something, right?
Jerky tied to a string or something. You pull it in slowly and they don't let go.
Jerky?
Just meat, you know? They don't want to eat it.
Huh.
Whatever.
I don't know much about fishing. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't fish for that. I fish for fish. And I do fly fishing, so I don't like throw and kind of let it sit.
I was momentarily interested in your life and hobbies and your interests, Jeff.
And I pushed you away.
That moment has passed.
Yeah. For me, too.
Upcoming events. You can always check out pinside.com/pinball/events. But in the meantime, so on our notes, I just deleted the Barry Ousler tournament that was Buffalo Pinball that we've been mentioning the past, like, 15 shows. And so then I deleted it because it was about 2 weeks ago. And then I went on our email, was adding our emails to the show notes, and I got another email from Kevin Mann from Buffalo Pinball, which is fine and great. He is on the ball. He's starting a summer pinbot? Potentially. Summer pinball tournament series, possibly featuring pinbot. It is June 21st, July 26th, and August 23rd. So once a month. Looks like he's got a tournament, $10 tournament. It's a match play. And you can find out more on buffalopinball.com. Okay?
It's kind of like as far as the events go, it's the maverick of our show.
Yeah.
It's like the maverick of events. I'm glad you said that. That's a good thing.
I didn't want to have to do reshoots so we could mention maverick.
Well, it's not something we have to force. See, like that. It just came up. It
just popped up. I'm glad you're on the ball. All this medication I'm on.
Why you gotta be medicated?
Because I'm speaking to you for an extended period of time.
That works.
Right. Well, do you want to... Oh, shoot.
What'd you do?
One of our lovely listeners sent us a Keep Flip Part Out. I think it was, what's-his-face, that guy, Rob McLarge. And I didn't copy and paste it. Ah, and so I just went into our email to copy and paste it. And we got another email entry from Hawk. So sorry, Hawk, you're a little late, but...
Let's hear it.
You want to hear his list of stuff that should have been?
Yeah.
All right. From the 80s, he'd like to see Alf. Okay. You can pretty much stop right there. That sounds great to me.
The worst ending to a TV series ever. Have you seen how Alf ends?
I know I did, but I don't know. He choked on a cat or something, right?
No, worse than that. Like,
he just left the family but didn't go back to Melmac?
He was going to go back to Melmac or something. He goes out to the forest to wait for him, and instead, like, a SWAT team comes in.
Oh, and yeah. And they capture him. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it ends. It's like, so Alf became a science experiment.
I totally forgot about that. It scarred me so deeply, I had repressed it all these years.
Well, that's like the end of it. Hey, they cut Alf up and, well...
I'd like a 17-year-old to watch an episode of Alf, and I just want to document their reaction.
It's just too disrespectful.
Oh, and an episode of Dinosaurs.
He's always cracking wise.
Yeah, he's the Bart Simpson of his day. Dinosaurs is terrible, but Alf was solid. I was six, but...
I swear, if someone says not the baby or whatever is it, or...
Not the mama, yeah.
I will lose it.
Oh, hated that show.
Yeah.
Monty Python, Dukes of Hazzard, Muppets, E.T., Empire Strikes Back, Goonies.
Yeah.
National Lampoon's Vacation. Yes.
Yes.
Dude, a Wally World Bash toy. That would be sweet. Yeah. Gremlins, Dark Crystal, He-Man, hells yes, and Ghostbusters, two games.
Boom.
And then for the 90s,
my man,
Men in Black. American Pie, because of the awesome callouts. I would never have thought of that one. Kill Bill, Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yes.
Okay. Matrix, Legend of Zelda, Diablo, for the backlash alone, and GTA, Grand Theft Auto. Which is one I thought of, but there's no way it would ever happen, even back then.
Never say no way.
Never say Goonies. All right.
Goonies never say
never
die.
Never say die. That's what it is. He said he is his Adam's Family machine still not up and running, but his wife has forbid him from fixing it. Apparently.
Oh no.
So you know what you must do, Hawk. All right. Now let me look for Rob McLarge. Son of a. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, I got it. You ready?
I think
so. Are we
so.
Taking a break or not?
I don't know. Do you need one?
Nah. All right.
I'm cool.
Keep flip part out, which... Okay. Playboy 35th anniversary. It's the early Data East showdown, by the way. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Playboy 35th, Laser War, Torpedo Alley. Cheese and rice. For him, he would keep the Laser War. It actually plays well, and it has a history being on its side... Because it was the first official Data East game. I did not know that. Flip the Playboy. Cool to have for a while, novelty-wise, but little staying power. Gameplay would get tired fast. Part out Torpedo Alley. People may crap on the photo back glass featuring semen and tights. Took me a minute to figure out that sentence. But my problem lies with the animated cat. Note, two NOS playfields were spotted at Allentown this year from a local vendor. A production version and a prototype version. Both in pretty good shape. But both would need touch-ups and a clear coat. Who would be willing to spend money to restore a Torpedo Alley? Both sold, though.
Huh,
yeah. That'd be, if you were one of the people that bought that to restore a Torpedo Alley, I'd like to hear your tale. So
yeah, that's not the most commonly restore thread things you'd find no. on Pinsider RGP. Yeah.
Wanted. Torpedo Alley Playfield.
New old stock preferred.
Yeah, Laser War looks like ass, so I don't know if I would keep that around.
I would okay, so for me, I would actually, yes, I would keep the Laser War. I would flip the Playboy as he does. Obviously, that's not going to fly in my house with the kiddos.
Yeah, good point.
And I would part out Torpedo Alley, and I would keep the Translite for myself.
Yeah, I might have to keep the Laser War, too. Those Slingshot plastics are pretty hot. And they could not keep the Playboy around, that's for sure. And I would not want to keep the Torpedo Alley around. How did that get made? We didn't do a how did this get made for.
I don't know. Why is the art so bad? I don't.
Who made those decisions?
I don't know. That was one of those that, like,
why?
Someone had an idea, and that person was either powerful enough or respected enough that nobody said no.
Hey, I can design a game for $300. I can produce it under a grand. Okay, sold. I'll put a cat on it. Oh, double sold.
Yeah, something like that.
Man, I played a Torpedo Alley, but it's been forever. I don't remember much about how I actually played.
I don't know. I've not played it. I would not walk past one without playing it, though. I'll say that.
The playfield looks pretty awesome. I don't know.
It has a lot going against it from the presentation standpoint,
though. It's just that back glass is a train wreck.
It's one of the worst ever, if that's for sure.
You could take it out. That's not too cool, though. Take it out and put up a poster of Farrah Fawcett or something. Kind of.
I don't know. It feels like you're destroying its identity by doing that.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I would still get rid of it. Those cats are stupid. And the chicks are still pretty cute. They're just wearing leotards.
It's really weird.
The back box is cool. Although she looks like she has no pants on.
That's a bonus, right?
Sure. Full frontal, no pants on. All right, did you have a key flip part out?
No, I totally spaced it. I could hastily throw one together if you'd like, but that's kind of lame.
Yeah, I totally spaced it too. I'm sorry.
I had a lot on my mind this week. That's my excuse for mediocrity.
Honestly, we both had a lot going on. We wanted to do a podcast where we didn't prepare at all.
Yeah, those turned out to be the best ones, so.
This one still feels pretty bad, though.
Well, they all feel bad.
That is true. Yeah. Okay. Let's go into our featured five then. Screw the other thing.
Okay. Mine's probably more of a featured 45, but I'll read them as fast as it takes us to normally do a featured five.
I did a different angle on this. The featured five, basically we were talking about same thing as a contest. What would there be? What games would exist if there was never a pin lull in the '80s or late '90s?
Right.
So you want to go back and forth or you just want to shotgun it? My list, I only wrote down seven.
Mine's significantly longer, but some of them are kind of like, not because that's what I wanted, but I think we would have unfortunately seen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mine's exactly that. It's things that could possibly exist.
Okay, so yeah, mine's some of that, and mine's some of whining why we never got it, because pinball took a dive. So, let's have you go first, and then I'll remove the overlaps.
Okay.
Because we'll discuss them as we go.
Okay, there isn't a single one on my list that I would want, except possibly Muscle.
Oh, I would want that.
Yeah, if they made a Muscle game, that would be pretty sweet, but it would probably be pretty crappy, honestly. I can only see like it being a hokey Gottlieb mid-80s game.
Well, I love the Muscle toys, but let's be honest, they're pretty crappy and hokey.
No, they're awesome.
They don't move.
Yeah, I know. You just throw them at each other.
They re-released the same ones over and over, and they just changed the colors. Oh. I don't know. They were awesome, but like a crappy kind of awesome.
Oh, I love them. I had a big bag of them, and I actually found it maybe 6 months ago. And I was like, man, a lot of these are still really, really cool.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of them at Comic-Con because I'm irresponsible with my money.
You're right. And you put them next to your Pogs? Your pile of Pogs?
Basically. Yeah. I had this giant poster that showed all of them.
Oh, neat.
And that was the coolest poster that I've ever owned in my life. That
sounds awesome.
So.
All right, so.
I want that one, too. Good job.
But on a serious note, I'm surprised we never got a Pokemon game. That would have been huge. And it kind of fits the theme. There's so much you could do. Well, I mean, we've got two Pokemon pinball video games. Oh, speaking of which, three people claimed my Pokemon pinball that I was giving away. So it took us, 2 months to give it away? But finally, I got three emails in like a week. So it shipped. It probably already arrived at somebody's house by now.
That's good.
Yeah. So Pokemon is my serious answer. I'm surprised. Pokemon is gigantic. They made tons of movies, tons of games. I think maybe just the limited appeal as far as ages. Although now those people are older, so Pokemon, like if you're under 25, you probably played Pokemon.
Well, let's be honest. The target audience is 8 to 12-year-olds, but the actual audience is 18 to 34-year-olds.
Well, I was way behind the ball on Pokemon. I was like in high school when the first one came out. I think I was out of high school. Was it like 99 or something?
It was probably 96, 97. But the first one I played was in 2000, and it was Pokemon Yellow. And I got it on my Game Boy Color, which was yellow. And I was in college, so I didn't get onto it until college. So that was my first year of college, by the way.
So you were 18 or so? 18, 19?
Yeah, I was 18.
Okay. Yeah, 96, it looks like the first one. Oh, no, games launched in the United States, September 30th, 1998. So that was after I graduated high school. So, yeah, I was way behind the ball.
I was still in high school. You're so old.
I bought Pokemon Fire Red on clearance at Target and played it for an hour. And then I bought Pokemon Y because Toys R Us mispriced it at $20 to try and get what the big deal was. And then I sold it to Target last week. So I still haven't really played much.
It's fun. It's good series.
Okay. All right. Well, do you have one you'd like to throw out there?
Let's just do your list, right, and then I'll cut out the repeats. All
right. We'll do my 90s list first and then my 80s list.
See, I didn't tidily separate mine, so.
I drew a line. So I'll go oldest. No, I'll go newest. The newest one is Pluto Nash, Adventures of Pluto Nash.
I didn't have that.
My whole list is not games I wanted to see. It's games I think they would have made. If they made a Barbed Wire, a Giant Mnemonic, a Congo.
Space Jam.
Yeah, if they made stuff that they thought was, here's a license, it's going to be a huge hit, They made it, and it was a bomb. I think Adventures of Pluto Nash, one of the biggest box office bombs of all time, would exist. I've never seen it, but it seems like a no-brainer.
Right. Yeah. One of the worst ones ever.
Yes. So. This one, I don't know. NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls, that whole pop thing.
Spice World.
It's no secret that I love the Spice Girls, but I'm kind of surprised, especially like the NSYNC where they were puppets, no strings attached.
Okay.
If pinball was bigger, we might have gotten something like that, right?
Yeah, it would have been a pretty big possibility, like a Britney Spears or something like that. Yeah.
So then you're saying, not you, but at home you're saying, no, they're just flashing the pan. You got to think of a classic artist. Well, in 1998, the Eagles were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I think you have to have an album out for 25 years before you can get nominated. Anyway, so the Eagles would have been the AC/DC or Metallica of our current pinball thing. And the Eagles suck, so that's...
Yes, you said it, and I said that today to my wife. Like, I have never liked the Eagles or any of their songs.
They have zero good songs. They seem really irritating.
All of their music's, like, bloated and... I don't know.
Even the history of the band is annoying. Like, we're all douchebags. We can't get along until Hell Freezes Over. And then Hell Froze Over, I guess. They got back together to make more money. Tickets were $120 each and 20 years ago. Mid-90s. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not... partially on board with that. I'm fully on board with that. So
the Eagles would have existed, I believe.
And Don Henley sucks, too.
Don Henley definitely sucks. All right. Sphere, 1998. Another gigantic box office bomb. It was a Michael Crichton book.
The
book was good. I did like that. But that seems like another giant mnemonic-ish. They would have made a game out of it. A no-brainer. Yeah. And a similar boat, this is the biggest bomb on the list, was 13th Warrior, the Antonio Banderas. Kind of a decent theme for a pin.
Beowulf, right? Yeah, it wasn't Beowulf.
Well, it was an interpretation of Beowulf, yeah.
Yeah.
So, when you think of it now, you're like, who cares? Like, nobody remembers that movie. But at the time, they'd spent a fortune on it.
Yeah, all that animation, yeah.
It was one of the biggest... No, that's the... You're thinking of... Beowulf, aren't you?
Oh, I'm actually thinking of the Beowulf.
You're thinking of Beowulf, yeah.
I remember what you're talking about, 13th Warrior, yeah.
It was
pretty hyped.
Yeah, I remember watching it, and I remember liking it, but I don't remember much about it. But it was one of the biggest bombs ever, even, I think, maybe bigger than Pluto Nash. But it seems like that's your, male-dominated licenses. Maybe there's no sexy chicks, but I could have seen that. All right, so there's my 2000s. And you're going to go, that's stupid. Yeah, but look, they made a barbed wire pin, so it's not that stupid, all right?
It's not... Yeah, we got Waterworld.
We got Waterworld. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. In the 80s, Xanadu?
Yeah.
Which would have been... Could have been kind of a decent-looking pin. I mean, we got Future Spa. Not that long. We're in the same ballpark. The soundtrack would have written itself, but there wasn't MIDI quality soundtracks back then. And then in a similar boat, 1984 Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
It's still constantly referenced, so.
Yeah, I think it'd be more likely to have a Breakin' 2 pin now than back then. Yeah,
like they ironically.
Yeah. But Xanadu they actually thought would be a hit, and it barely broke even. Anyway, all right, so I'm done.
Okay, so mine is a lot longer, so we'll just
go for it.
Take a sprint through it then.
I'll stop you if it's something interesting.
This one more falls under the I can't believe we never got it, and that's a Michael Jackson pin. Like, we got a Nugent. We got Dolly Parton. How did we not get Michael Jackson?
That is a really good one.
Conan the Barbarian. Could have seen that happening.
Yeah.
That was great. Highlander, also. This predates our time, but it was still super popular in the 80s, so I'd say Jaws. obviously Ghostbusters, which a couple people named. Same with like Pee Wee Herman, like Big Adventure, whatever, just some Pee Wee pin. People have mentioned Goonies. I don't know how we made it through the 80s and 90s without a Superman pin. Like, that's crazy talk. What year did the Atari one come out?
I think it was like 79.
So it was close.
I'll look while you're doing your thing.
But it's just weird that that never happened because he's kind of a timeless thing.
79.
Okay, so I mentioned Neverending Story earlier in the show, and I still will mention that here. Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, that was big. And it's a opera-ish theme.
Yeah, I don't know how we didn't get an early 80s X-Men, because they were super awesome. And also, the late 90s, they had a pretty big revival.
Yeah, the movie, I'm surprised that, well, you're talking about the cartoon, right? But the movie, I'm surprised
cartoon
the movie
for, yeah, cartoon for the 80s, and not cartoon, comics for the 80s, movie for the 90s. Karate Kid? Come on, man. That would have been awesome. Yeah. Not necessarily want it. Okay, so this is on the edge of our...
That would be interesting.
So this came out in 87. I kind of left most of the Disney stuff off because Disney was always weird about licensing, but DuckTales?
Oh, DuckTales would be fantastic.
Because I think that came out around 87, 86 or so. I kind of mentioned earlier G.I. Joe and Transformers. I'll kind of lump them together because they would have also been something that I thought would have popped up.
The Gen 1 Transformers game?
Yes. Okay, so did I say Princess Bride?
No.
Okay, so Princess Bride.
That seemed like more of a cult thing, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's something you'd want?
I don't know. I'll tell you one would be good. Yeah, they would. One I would want, but I can't remember how popular it was when it first came out, but Secret of Nim? The Rats of Nim?
Yeah, they threw a lot of money at it.
It's cool.
No, it's not.
Like, the art's great.
Yes.
Thundercats? Yeah.
No.
Come on. Get behind that one, Don.
Nope.
For the sci-fi lovers out there, Fifth Element, probably. Couple that I thought that's crazy we didn't get, seeing how Sega was in pinball, we didn't get Sonic the Hedgehog. Like,
yeah, what? He's on a bunch of pins on the flipper bats.
And it's such a, like, no-brainer type of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. We got Sonic Spinball.
Yeah, but we didn't get the pinball machine. It probably would have never happened, but, I mean, we got Street Fighter II. I thought, you know, Mortal Kombat, if the money was there. I mean, Midway being involved, it kind of would have made sense.
Yeah.
And then the one that I saved at the end that I really, really would have wanted.
Not Ghostbusters. Well,
that one goes without saying. Right. King of the Hill. Yeah.
I don't think that would ever happen. Beavis and Butthead would be more likely.
Sound drops for days on King of the Hill.
That would be nice. I did love that show. It got really, really good.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my thing with King of the Hill, because a lot of... I'm guessing half the people listening said, oh, that was the most annoying, stupid show, and the other half just said, oh, that was an amazing show, perfect from beginning to end. If you've never seen King of the Hill and you watch just random two or three episodes, it's going to annoy you. But if you watch, like, 10, and you kind of understand the characters a little bit, it clicks, and then you love it. Like, you get why Bobby's weird... You get why Hank is the way he is. You start to think Peggy's actually funny and not just a dumb, you know, kind of cocky woman that has nothing going for her. I don't know. I would have loved that as a pinball machine.
That's a good way to put it.
I don't know. It's one of those you have to give it 10 episodes. Two or three won't do.
Yeah, I started watching it season one on TV and I didn't like it at all. And eventually, somehow I saw the DVDs, and watching it in a block, I was like, oh my gosh, this is good. I ended up buying like four or five seasons.
Yeah, I've got all the seasons that I saw on DVD, and then the jerk stopped like around season eight or so.
I thought they stopped even earlier, because I thought I did the same thing. But yeah, they didn't release the whole series.
No, it makes me mad. They threw them on Netflix instead.
Oh, stupid.
Yeah. But...
But you never know. They did that with Rocky and Bullwinkle, too, and then eventually they released the final season.
Yeah. Did I say Animaniacs? I could have seen Animaniacs.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And just because my dad helped build the robot, Short Circuit.
All right. Yeah, they did 6 seasons on DVD.
That's not enough. I need more.
Ooh, Electric Dreams. I don't know. I always think of Electric Dreams when somebody brings up Short Circuit. Did you ever see that one?
No.
It's about a
batteries not included
computer that falls in love with a guy. Or vice versa.
Isn't that her?
It's her, but the 80s version.
Okay.
Yeah. Batteries not included. Kind of sucked, actually.
Slide in the Navigator.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Mac and Me.
No. Wheelchair multiple. Wheelchair down the cliff multiple.
Yeah. That's the only reason. Just because that one scene.
Yeah, just fast forward the rest of the movie and watch that scene. And then watch the grocery scene at the end.
It's on YouTube.
The naked man running around at the end.
I'm sure there are plenty of musical acts like U2 in both those time periods have had big, giant presences.
I used to work for a band, and we would go out to restaurants or whatever, and they would look at our licenses, and we're all from different states, and say, oh, what are you guys doing here? And say, oh, we're roadies for a band. And they go, oh, what band is it? So we'd say, have you heard of U2? Yeah, what, U2? Really? I'm like, yeah, it's not them.
You so sly.
That was one of our favorite jokes.
But anyway, I would have been more shocked if they'd been like, no. But I know there's a lot of musical ones that it's weird they kind of got away from them for a while. Those seem like some of the easier licenses to work with, but...
Yeah, Pink Floyd.
Yeah. And we got some good ones, like Guns N' Roses is a good one.
Yeah. Tommy, go either way. Tommy's okay, but I don't like the source material.
I like The Who in concept.
Yeah, I like The Who, but I don't like, I don't know, the whole Tommy thing I don't like.
I get, yeah. Yeah. It would have been better if it was just a pin of The Who.
Yeah, sure.
And they would have had Pearl Jam covers instead of the original sure. versions. Sure,
save a couple of bucks.
Because, well, the Pearl Jam covers are better than the originals.
Granted.
But, yeah, man, listen to Pearl Jam play Bob O'Reilly. It's the greatest thing you'll ever hear.
Sure.
So, anyway, I think that's my exhaustive list of them. But come on, Jaws would have had the best Bash toy
Jaws ever. Would have been fantastic. There is a very good Jaws game on Future Pinball.
Oh, yeah. So, I've seen that one, actually.
So download that.
And then not know how to set it.
Right.
Because we
forgot. Gosh, I gotta call Joe. Yeah.
We should have a segment called Gotta Call Joe. And we'll throw questions at him. The first one will be easy because he understands that. But then eventually we'll just throw stuff at him and be like, guys, I really don't know. We'll play it. It'll be great.
So did you, the listener, know that we kind of have like a little... team of people that bring the podcast to you every couple weeks. Not just Jeff and I, it's Joe Zinkus, who I think might have a song for us this episode. Gene X Wong, who gives us great interviews. Those interviews last month were killer. Can you believe he got
they
Steve Ritchie?
So good.
He got Rick Bartlett.
Yeah.
And he got the Spirit Guy. I skipped our show. I just wanted to hear those. Those were great.
Yeah, I think all I put when I posted it was like, new show, Gene X Wong. And that was my
Yeah, that's all you gotta say. King of Pinball, Gene X Wong. And then you got Steve Pandahl, who worked on our last show, and I thought it sounded great. He said he actually didn't like the way it sounded, so he said he'd do better next time.
Oh my goodness.
With the salary we gave us, he's really helping us out. Or we gave him. Anyway, so... kudos to those guys for helping us out. And then thanks to the listeners who are constantly submitting wise-ass cracks like Taylor Reese and Ryan Clater and Mitchell Curtis and whatnot. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. We know the flaws are there.
That's okay.
You're pointing them out only shames us further.
Just throw salt in the wound.
Speaking of wound, I've got this massively huge and disgusting looking area on the inside of my left thumb that like it went well beyond blister
for a second. I thought you were gonna say the eye.
And I could post a picture of it, but it would gross everybody out because it kind of looks like It's sort of healing over, but it keeps ripping back
this
open.
This is why I'd like to edit the show.
And it's in a spot where you can't really put a Band-Aid on it, or it just kind of slides off, and it just doesn't work. It's just a bad spot for a Band-Aid. But
much like this is about a bad size spot of a, for
it's about the size of a quarter, and it kind of looks like ground meat. The edges are burnt, but the middle is still kind of raw. So
was there like a J-Lo video on, and it got caught on a loop or something?
It hurts really bad, okay. And I think you should have more sympathy. When I go to the gym and I lift weights, it hurts to do. So there's that.
Well, I think when you go to the gym, you don't actually lift weights. You just put on a shirt that says, like, we lift hard or whatever, or single, married, don't have time for your BS.
Get swole.
Yeah. And then you just walk around and you kind of look at other people and your hair never gets messed up.
No, I walk over when someone's lifting and I'm like, so that's how you want to do that? Okay. And then I leave. Go critique someone else's form somewhere else. Hmm. That's an interesting way to do that lift.
Sure. Oh. Did your mom teach you that? Yeah.
That's interesting form for someone.
Virtual tables.
Yeah.
So I mean the internet was right. Lights, Camera, Action is the next table on the Pinball Arcade. Came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of selling an accessory that plugs into your phone and attaches to the top so it can recreate the lights that are part of the, you know, the head of the machine. I think it'll sell a lot.
Just program it that the the flash on your phone flashes, and then just play in front of a mirror. Yeah,
this is good. This is a good idea.
We're geniuses. Anyway, I'm cool with that. I'll play it. I'll download it.
Yeah, not out yet. Nope. Might be by the time. When's it supposed to come out?
They just announced it yesterday, the day before. It's probably about 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, it's usually a week or two.
So hopefully after this episode comes out.
it will definitely be after.
Possibly not, though.
I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, now you just hosed us.
Yeah.
Your new job tomorrow is going to be like, hey, yeah, we need to send you to Mexico for 3 weeks.
That's actually probably a possibility at some point.
There you go.
They have a presence.
Wow, gosh. We did it again, Jeff.
Oops.
We have a really cool contest prize, but we didn't talk about our freaking contest. Why do we drop the ball on this every month? You would think at a certain point
we'd wise up.
After 35 episodes.
We're like a fish. Like, something painful can happen and we don't learn from it.
Yeah.
We totally forget what caused the pain and run right back into it.
Right. I'm looking at a list of... I do have one thing in mind, I guess, but people won't do it. I'm looking at a list. We asked people to name a contest, so I'm looking through the contests that people named that we saved. Awesome poster. Most of them are like, hey, design this or that. Oh, which... Did you see Ryan Clater stirring the pot on that one?
No.
There was a post up to design a t-shirt for Expo. And you could, and the winning design would get $100.
That's cool.
Or entry to the show, which
it's like so much better than what we do.
Well, no, but the issue was $100 is nothing, is not enough money at all compared to they're going to be selling shirts. Basically, the entry is.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
For a professional artist to design a t-shirt, $100 is a drop in the bucket.
Right.
I think they meant it as something fun, but it kind of went sideways and the thread got really long. And yeah, I definitely for a professional artist, $100 is definitely not there.
Right.
And for the amount of money they would be making on shirts, doesn't make sense. For like if we put together a tournament at our house or something, that might be.
That's good. That's good pay.
That's probably, yeah. for something huge. I'm not trying to really piss on either side of the thing, but
I think you are.
I'll link to the thread. You can put your 2 cents in there, but I know I would love to have a Ryan Clayor designed pinball logo, so we should throw a Kickstarter for that. We need to pay Ryan Clayor a lot of monies.
What your donation gets us
is slightly better presence on our stickers or something that we still haven't printed.
One day.
I sincerely would like to see pictures of people's game rooms, because our friend that I can't think of his name, is it Nicholas? He's been posting pictures on Google Plus.
Yep.
So I've really liked the stuff he's done. He actually, did you see that video he did of his bingo machine?
Yeah, like, I'm like oddly, not quite creepy, but nearly creepily intrigued by what he does with that room.
Yeah, I watched the video too with the Pin Geek. And yeah, we're both creeping on that guy pretty hard. anyway, so either way, it was interesting to see where he, you know, spends his time playing pinball. So I thought it would be fun to see where everybody gets to hang out, what their game room looks like, whether it's one pin or a picture of their iPad because they don't have any pins, and or a really cool shot of their whole area.
Yeah.
I don't know, you want to do something like that?
I would like that. Yeah, I actually think that would be fun.
Okay, submit one photo to our thing, pinballpodcast@gmail.com. One photo of your game room or where you go play pinball. You can do it on a cell phone. It doesn't have to be professional quality picture. If you don't want us to repost it, please let me know. It can be just for our eyes only. That's fine. Yeah. But I would actually really enjoy that. But we have a sweet prize. That actually, this kind of fits into where you would be playing pinball, because it is a silkscreen poster to put in your game room.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's Ken Rossi donated one from his Pinsanity tournament that was about 2 weeks ago, but he put an extra print aside for us. I think he only made 50 of them, and this is the third year he's done them. They look really cool. They're always white, black, and red. And I've got all three hanging up in my house right now, so I'll post a picture of that, you know, so you can see what it looks like.
Yeah, it's some good art.
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's just, you know, for a relatively small tournament, he really does a very, very nice job on this nice little keepsake for it.
Agree.
So you can email us, pinballpodcast@gmail.com, or you can message us on Instagram, make it even easier. Do hashtag pinballpodcast, or...
If they actually mention us, it'll alert us. So,
yeah.
Like post it and then
pinball
put
podcast.
Pinball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you do that, you will be entered, and I will try to remember to check it. I've been checking it a couple times a week, so.
Yeah. I've been forgetting to put pinball-related pictures on there. Been a jerk and putting them on my personal account instead.
Damn it, Jeff.
I know.
It's okay.
It's just like on the phones, it's so easy to swap accounts, say, with like Twitter, but they haven't figured out that that's a nice and easy thing to do, and so Instagram doesn't support that quite as well.
Oh, I didn't know Twitter did that. I gotta get on that.
Yeah, you can have multiple accounts on your phone.
Oh, I would start tweeting a lot more. Yeah, you always gotta sign in and out on Instagram.
Yeah.
It sucks. I don't like typing 15 characters.
It's hard.
Yes.
That accuracy with the touch screens.
So I'm looking at, this is our notes that we never look at the very bottom of our page.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, how do we get mentioned on pinballhead.com when a new episode drops?
Yeah, that I remember that note's been there for a while.
Yeah,
now,
a little while.
We never figured it out.
It's right below the best of 2012 in pinball awards. Yeah, we'll have to crack that nut one of these days.
Yeah, good work by us there.
Yeah, nice, tidy 15-page podcast notes. All right, thank you guys for listening. As always, check out niftyled.com and wizardamusement.com for your pinball, LED, and shooter rod needs. Thank you, Stitcher listeners, for sketching, whatever the thing is.
For being there.
Yes. Twitter.com/pinballpodcast, facebook.com/pinballpodcast. Pinballpodcast@gmail.com is the best way to get in touch with us, although you can do it a million other places.
Hey, we got a Google Plus comment about your Australia hate.
We did?
Yeah.
I love Australia. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah. You know you're making fun of New Zealand and Australia last
month. You were?
Yes. See, I knew the difference between them. You, on the other hand, were saying like, oh, in New Zealand, they're talking about throwing the shrimp on the Barbie and all that.
I do remember you saying that.
No, I No, we did. We get a comment. Do you want me to read it? It's from...
Sure,
All right. Let me jump back to it here.
It's from Sexy Abs 667.
And no, it's not that. It's from Jared Morgan, you know, who is involved with the Pinball Arcade Fans and their podcast.
Oh, I like that show.
By the way, he has said that he plays our podcast at 1.5 speed, which is perfect pacing for the Aussie ear. Remember, I think we mentioned that they're a little bit faster speaking.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, he responded to our Kiwis and the... talking about the shrimp on the Barbie. So he's mentioned that that was the Aussies that say that. But he said there's a campaign from the Red Meat Association to change that throw the shrimp on the Barbie to throw another steak on the Barbie.
Oh.
So the Red Meat Association wants to change that saying. And they want it to be global, not just, hey, the Australians say throw another shrimp on the Barbie. They want everybody in the world saying throw another steak on the Barbie.
I don't like calling my barbecue a Barbie.
You don't have to, Don.
Well, according to their
initiative, just know that you're not making any friends at the Red Meat Association.
I can't afford red meat anymore, anyway.
Yeah, and I think, oh yeah, and Measlemods also shared the AC/DC train mod with us on Google+. So
I clicked on Google+ right now, and I don't know. There's a lot of neat stuff on here, but I don't know what pinball stuff it is. We need to get you on the podcast to teach me how to work Google+.
It's the superior social network. It just...
Oh, I'm sorry. I do see a thing here from Jared Morgan.
Yeah. And by the way, there's a lot of... Just speaking of Google+, there's a lot of cooler, better pinball people on there. Like Steve Bowden.
Nicholas Baldridge. You know,
fun with Bonus. Sharing stuff on there.
James Hale.
So... In fact, Google+ is where I first saw the Big Lebowski under thing.
Oh, Laura Playfield?
Yeah.
Under thing, okay.
But there's a ton of pinball groups on there that share a lot of neato things.
You didn't mention the other New Zealand things. New Zealand dictionary items. Chili bin is a cooler. Chill E bin, 3 syllables, cooler.
Oh, yeah.
Cooler
yeah.
is less syllables, so I don't think I'll be switching that one. Churbro equals thanks, mate. I don't say either one of those. It's not very helpful. Sweet as equals awesome. Sweet as.
By the way, speaking of Jared Morgan, whose comment you're reading, he shared this picture that he ordered a one-off like pinball zine thing, and the art's awesome. It's got this picture of Elvira, and it says the patron saint of pinball below it, and it's also got like the creature. I'm thinking it's the creature from Black Lagoon kicking a pinball machine. It's called Slam Tilt Zine.
I don't know. Is this? Go look. Oh yeah, I see the picture.
Find it. I like that.
I was reading his thing about big gay earls.
So is that just a fish, or is that creature from the Black
Lagoon? That's creature, it looks like.
Yeah.
That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I kind of want that zine.
Yeah, $15.
I don't know what's inside it, though.
Yeah. We need Jared Morgan to review it for us. Yeah, $15 can goes a long way nowadays. That's half a season of
pinball.
That's 3 months worth.
That's the only place it goes very far.
Yeah, pinball, that's true.
But, you know what? This is at the end of the show, not time to bring it up, but I'm bringing it up anyway. I see prices sliding on some pinball machines. We'll talk about that in the next show, though.
Well, write it down, because I won't remember that.
I won't remember it either, even if I write it down.
I'm coming off my drugs now.
You might want to take another one. I just realized I forgot to unpause after the last break.
Oh, jeez and Christ.
I'm just kidding. No, we're good. We're good.
That joke never gets old.
It doesn't. I do it every week we record, so.
All right, so thank you all for listening. I think we got all of our... Oh, we forgot to do... Just search Pinball Podcast on Google+. Or Jared Morgan. Just follow that guy. Don't worry about us. And Pinball Podcast, thepinballpodcast.com for a list of our favorite games, links to our Pinside profiles, links to our friends, video that Jeff made several months ago, since he talked about making more videos.
Yeah.
So he made one.
My next video, just so you know, whenever you ask, is always a week or two away.
Okay, so stay tuned for that, and stay tuned for our next show coming up a couple weeks. Oh, and nobody ever did recommend any featured machines. So that sucks. I guess I'll just have to pick one. Roller Coaster Tycoon. Okay. Our 3-hour retrospective show. All right. Have a good night.
The multi-ball is ready, but don't we go down to the arcade. The insides are very shiny, the flippers are really strong, like a cup of fresh black coffee. I will wax the playing field if you replace the gloves. Where is my champion pub? Where is my Flash Gordon? Where is my haunted house? Where have all the bimbos gone? Why don't you start a game? You can be the first player. I'm a tough opponent to beat. Ooh, you have an ego from your IPFA ranking. You just drained your ball, my sweet. I will flame polish the plastics if you clear coat the playfield. Where is my twilight zone? Where is my white water? Where is my no good ghost?